Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Morning, The Well. Now, last time, someone ran me for running the clock, yeah? So thank you, Clive, for that. So we continue with our Signs of the Kingdom series. And of course, who wants more joy? Come on. Who wants more joy? Clive has said it. So Psalm 100, verse 1 to 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Joy. Joy, joy, joy. I've got 5 points for you. One, joy in worship. Two, joy in suffering. Three, joy in opposition. Four, joy in obedience. Five, joy everlasting. Actually, just before I go in there, Veronica, I have a word for you, and it's just simply this. Significant change is coming to you and your family, I believe. Just, you know, pray on that. I'm not sure, but I'm stepping out as well. So we thank you, Lord. So the conclusion of most social scientists and thinking people is that there's a deep-rooted connection between unrealistic expectations and discontentment in life. And a recent professor in the States proved that the reason why our rich and affluent culture is filled with, what's the word now, malcontented people, that is, a person who is dissatisfied and complaining, is their expectations are unrealistic. Right now, in this part of our history, we need that emphasis on joy right now. So have you guys been following the Olympic Games? Any of you managed to catch up on what's going on? There, you know, Team GB not doing too bad. You know, we've got the youngest person who's won a medal, 13-year-old skateboarding young lady. We've got women making history in sailing. You know, it's just such a celebration. And how can I not mention Jamaica 1, 2, and 3? There you go. Absolutely. Bless them, Lord. But it's amazing, as you look further up the medals table, you just seem to get a little bit political. And I won't say, but basically, it's the taking part. You know, what happened to the taking part? And there are certain nations that their athletes are getting bronze and silver. And for some reason, they didn't get the gold. They didn't get the standard. That's it. They're discounted. And they are being vilified. And they're being there's a backlash because they didn't win gold for their nation. Can you believe that? But I remember something a few months ago or a couple of months ago. Was it last month? Yeah, the football. We got to the final. In 55 years, but we couldn't celebrate that, could we? And guess what? Less said. So, malcontentment has led to all sorts of emotions and problems in our land and in our nation, and throwing a bit of COVID and pandemic as well. So my first point, joy in worship. We are created for worship. 2 Samuel 6:16, I think you know. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michael, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. And to cut a long story short, when David had finished doing his stuff and dancing, and she questioned him, after that conversation, she was unable to bear children for the rest of her days. Now, come on, how many of us have looked to somebody or looked across or done something when someone's doing something in worship or enjoying themselves in worship? And I think it's true. We have, you know, the stiff upper lip, the British thing, where we don't want to be too excited or too expressive. And I've had people say to me in the past, you know, I never got anything out of worship. You know, you haven't moved me. And I used to think, well, you know, that's a misconception, because it's not the worship leader or anybody else to move anybody. It's not a performance. We are here to give God his worth, because he is worthy of praise. Amen. So I found myself at a Bedford conference. I think it was a Father's Heart. And there was someone expressing themselves that person was having a very good time with the Lord. And the band was in front of me, and this person was over there. And I do remember thinking, oh, come on, dude. You know what I mean? Really? Is he putting that on? We've been there, right? Well, I'm just trying to be honest, right? But we have to be careful of a critical spirit or a controlling spirit, or if something has changed or someone different has come along and we're not coping with change and it's something different. But we must celebrate that. And do you know what? Tony, I want to thank you for leading us in our song worship this morning. You know, let us continue to be a church that encourages one another, honors and encourages those who step out. You got to teach me that line. What was it? I can't remember. Yeah, you got to show me some of them guitar licks as well, please, mate. Thank you. Bible. The psalmist says, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Let them praise him with dancing, making melody to him with the tambourine and lyre. Psalm 149, verse 3. David danced before the Lord with all his might. I don't know what that looks like for you, but all his might. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Psalm 126, 2-3. Rejoicing that day and leap for joy. Luke 6, 23. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. So let's continue in our hot pursuit of God, in our worship together. And I believe we are a worshiping community. We love God. But I don't think we've even begun to plummet the depths of worship. There's always more. And it's more than just singing. It's like living for that audience of one. We lift up a sacrifice of praise. And we worship in spirit and in truth. Leads me to my second point. Joy in the presence of suffering. Last Sunday we sung, blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. You know, you give and take away. Actually, that song is penned to those words from Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 22. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised, or blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. James reminds us in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now look, I'm not standing here before you and pretending that I don't suffer from some sort of anxiety or experience uncertainty or have concerns for the day. But one thing I've learned, it's about trusting God in the midst of change. It's trusting God in the midst of circumstance, and it's trusting God in the midst of challenges. Change, circumstance, and challenges. We must trust God through all that. And it has been rough, as Clive has mentioned. It's been rough. Tough 18 months. It's how we respond in those moments. What comes out of us when we are squeezed or under pressure? What will your response be? It's one thing knowing that God is good, and we say that all the time, don't we? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But is God good when stuff is going on in your heart? Is God good in your home? Is God good in your workplace? We have a situation going on at the home at the moment, and we've become overcrowded again. But we are trusting God for the situation and the outcome. You've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. Joy in the middle of trials doesn't mean that we have to fake that or grin and bear it or pretend that everything is great when it's not. We don't need to go around and say, yeah, I'm sick, praise the Lord, or wonderful, I've lost my job. No, no, no. God does not want us to display hypocrisy or false emotions. God does not want us hiding behind, you know, sometimes as Christians we can have these masks and, you know, hallelujah, everything's well, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored. Probably. You know, God wants us to get to a point in our lives that we are reliant on Him, church. That we look to Him, church. That we fix our eyes on Him. Not on the circumstance, not on the situation. Even while we're living in times of uncertainty, there is no getting away from that. And there's something about learning through these pressured moments, learning through these times. And even Paul reminds us in Romans 8:18 that I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal glory that is far beyond comparisons. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Now, who would understand suffering even more? It's Jesus, because He went to the cross. You know, He was spat upon. He suffered a torture technique invented by man that was so severe and so grueling, 6 hours on a cross. Let me read from Isaiah 53, some of the verses. He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed, or stripes. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his, her, or her own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the sin, iniquity of us all. Which dovetails into my next point. So suffering, God knows all about that. The third point is joy in the face of opposition. Our unshakable faith in the doctrine of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ guides our steps and gives us joy. Whether you like it or not, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, you will face opposition if you're a Christian. Why? Because it's part of the job description, I'm afraid. You know, and some people might even say, if you're not experiencing some sort of discomfort, well, what is God doing in your life? Remember the slave girl in Acts 16:16-18. She had that spirit of divination. She was following Paul and, was it Paul and Silas? Yes, she was following them around and she was crying out, the servants of the Most High who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she was following Paul and saying those things. But Paul just got so fed up of it, he just said, out in Jesus' name. Out! And it was gone. But it was a counterfeit. Although the person was speaking about proclaiming salvation, it was a counterfeit spirit. Opposition can also come from misguided family members, right? How many of us have faced that? But also, opposition can come from Christians as well. I'm not saying there's any here. No, I love you guys as a family. But it's amazing. You know, it's just misguided. Planting a church. Really? Do you think you can plant a church in lockdown? Oh, I don't know. Praise the Lord. It is done. Praise the Lord, he knows what he's doing. Amen? Amen. John just proclaimed, you are the Christ, Son of the living God, in Matthew 16. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And you know, it continues to say, and upon this rock I will build my church, right? But in that same breath, just a little bit further down in the verses, when Jesus begins to predict his death, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him and say, never, Lord. He said, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. And when Barnabas and Saul were sent out, there was, when he was talking to the proconsul and he had that audience with him, there was someone who was trying to stop that conversation happening and to the proconsul, and it was a sorcerer of some sort. And Paul had to call down blindness upon this person, because he was getting in the way and stopping. It's just like when when you're doing evangelism or you experience you're out on the street somewhere or something and you're trying to pray and it looks like a really good opening and then suddenly a friend comes along and goes, oh, what's going on? You know, you just want to call it down, or the phone starts ringing. Stop that call in the name of Jesus or whatever. Resistance. Satan is a defeated foe. He will be thrown down into the lake of fire that is reserved for him and his cohorts. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. My fourth point. Joy in obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Yeah. Obedience. Now, I hear a lot of Christians saying, I'm trusting the Lord for this and I'm trusting the Lord for that. But what I'm not hearing is, I'm obeying the Lord for this and I'm obeying the Lord for that. How do I know this? Because I'm one of the Christians that go, I'm trusting the Lord for this and I'm trusting the Lord for that. Obeying sometimes is, ooh. What has he told you recently and you've obeyed? Have you followed through? So as I was preparing this message, I was going out and about and, you know, I just felt, oh, I'm preaching on obedience. And then I felt the Lord say, you need to go to the library, the South Library in Essex Road. And I thought, oh, no, 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 Lord. You can't be. But no, I took it and I said, I will go. So I went into the library, pulled in, went to the graphic novel section. Oh, Lord, that person's not here. I can't see what's going on. What is it, Lord? And the person wasn't there. So I grabbed some recycling bags for the wife. You know, you have to keep the missus happy. And I thought, well, Lord, you told me to go. And it's not there. So I booked my lunch. So I went to get some lunch. There was a pizza shop across the road. I ordered pizza. And then suddenly I saw this guy coming out and he was like this. And he was really struggling. And I thought, that's it, that's the guy, that's it. And I was trying to follow him closely. So you don't want to be too excited, right? So I started following him. And he went to his shop. And then I realized, no, that's not quite the guy. So you know what? I gave up. I just said, Lord, I'm going to eat my lunch. Thank you. And as soon as I received my lunch, someone tapped me, came up to me and said, Boss man, you got any change? Boss man, you got any change? And I went, silver and gold I have not, but what I have, I'll give you in the name of Jesus. I just said, Lord, this was it. This is the opportunity. So I just said, excuse me, what's your name? He said, Dennis. I said, Dennis, you know, I don't have cash, man, but I want to pray for you. I love Jesus. I want to introduce you to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that the guy gave his life or anything like that, but he allowed me to pray for him. And he was, and you know when you're praying and you know that this is a God moment and it's happening, and I knew he was feeling everything that I was speaking into. And that was a great conversation, and we even got him something to eat. Amen. Obedience is key if you want to follow those promptings. You know, obedience brings its own rewards and blessings. Luke 10:17-21, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. The proclamation of the kingdom of God follows those signs and wonders. The kingdom of God has come near. So, we've heard that joy in worship, we're created for worship. It's our lifestyle. When we are free in worship, we are free from religious control as we surrender our own hearts in worship. We get to worship in spirit and truth, and we offer up a sacrifice of praise. Joy in the presence of suffering, as we consider it pure joy, some people probably don't, but we are to consider it pure joy, facing those trials and the testing that produces faith and perseverance. Joy in the face of opposition. Of course, we will have opposition. There is an enemy of our soul, yours and mine. He hates you, he hates me, and everything we stand for. But we should resist the devil and he will flee from us. Joy in obedience. Trust and obey. Obedience brings its own reward and blessings. And I'm going to go into my final point. Joy everlasting. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 96. How can I express this? You know, there's been a theme of singing song, and I've got to try this. So, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very, come on, just say, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Fullness of his presence. Thank you. In the year of our Lord, 1996, 97, I had an encounter with God. I've had quite a few encounters with God over the years. But that encounter back then was like any other. For it was the beginning of my journey that totally changed my life forever. I remember where I was. I was in King's Cross, at a church called Victory Outreach, in front of a guy called Al Blahouse, who was an associate of Nicky Cruz. And the Holy Spirit came upon me in such a way, it was for me my Damascus Road encounter. And the warmth and the power that I felt, because it was like, you know, I was thinking, you know, you're there and you're thinking, oh, I'm kind of looking through my eyes a little bit. This guy's cool. I'm thinking, what's this, man? Christians. And boom! That wake you up in the spirit, you know? You just felt this thing. And it was just, it was a good 60 seconds and it just lowered into my chest. I don't know what that was. It's like sunlight, brilliant sunlight in this room right now. And what I realized, that was the warmth and the love of God. And it was pure. It was pure. I've never felt anything like it since. It was supernatural. But it was that embrace that allowed me to give my life to the Lord 2 days later, on my own, in my room, where I surrendered, crying and laughing at the same time. And I was just thinking, if that was a foretaste of what is to come, if that was a trickle, that experience there, what would heaven be like forever? How could you not want that? How can people say, I don't want God, don't want God in my life? Now that is joy in salvation. That's why the whole of heaven is rejoicing as one sinner turns back to God the Father. In Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no There was no longer any sea. I saw the city, a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's Tony Rand. If you can come up, I'm just going to close out and play some. For those of you that have been listening, or for those listening online, if there's anyone here, I think we all are Christians, but I want to just give that opportunity for someone who may want that relationship with God. And we're just going to simply say a prayer. If we could stand. And we're going to just say it in your hearts. It's just a prayer. We're asking for four words. Thank you. Sorry. And please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the true gift of eternal life. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. Take a moment, whoever you are, for those things. Forgive me and wash me and cleanse me. Now, Lord, would you please come in and change my life forever? And for those of you who are standing, for those my Christian brothers and sisters right here and now, there is an anointing for the power of the supernatural joy that releases you to go and do exploits. Come on, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray for that releasing right now. I pray for my brothers and sisters that, Lord, you would encourage them and equip them. The Holy Spirit is coming to you. Some of you are feeling a quickening in your hearts right now because of that. We thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to be a people who are abandoned in worship and surrender our hearts to you on a daily basis. Lord, help us to consider that it is pure joy when we face trials of every kind. Thank you, Lord, that you identify in suffering. And Lord, thank you that you have overcome the enemy and the opposition, be it physical, mental, or spiritual. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us individually, us as a family, us as a church, shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be a people who are obedient. People who will follow your commands and step out in faith and keep our spiritual disciplines, so that one day we will hear those words. You know, people are in the Olympics racing for a medal. But Lord, like Paul, we will be able to say, we have fought the good fight and run the race. And we're running for that crown of life. To enter into your kingdom for joy, everlasting, when you usher in your kingdom.